Genesis chapter 4.
We're going to be considering this morning the days of Noah. The Lord Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He indicated that in the days immediately preceding his coming, conditions on the earth would exactly duplicate conditions as they were just before the flood. And any person who intelligently reads his Bible and also keeps abreast of current events today cannot help but be impressed that there has never been a time in the world's history when conditions more exactly duplicated the days of Noah as they do today. Chapter 4 of Genesis, we'll read from verse 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other Zillah. Adah bare Jabal, he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, he was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain should be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enoch. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 5 is also a tremendously interesting chapter, which we don't have time to read. It's really a long list of names, but nevertheless, it is a chapter which is filled with interest if a person would just take the time and get to know these people. In chapter 6 we read, it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. And they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless the reading of thy word. We thank thee for what we have already heard this morning. What a challenge and what a blessing it has been to our hearts. We ask thee that thou wilt speak afresh now by thy Holy Spirit. Give us, like the men of Issachar, an understanding of the times, that we might know what the people of God ought to do in these dark, dangerous, and closing days of the age of grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are seven ways in which the days of Noah are identical to the days in which we live. They were, first of all, days of spiritual decline. They were also days of social dilemma. Furthermore, they were days of shameless depravity. The days of Noah were days of scientific development. They were days of some devotion. And they were days of strong delusion. And finally, they were days of sudden destruction. In these seven ways, we can draw a very close parallel between conditions on the earth before the flood and conditions as they are on the earth today. First of all, they were days of spiritual decline. One would think that since the Lord Jesus said that his coming would be characterized by days identical to the days of Noah, that we would be more than interested in finding out what the days of Noah were really like. And if we want to know exactly what they were like, we need to study Genesis 4, 5, and 6. For in these three chapters, we have a graphic pen picture by the Holy Spirit covering 1,500 years of human history, condensed into a few short verses, a concentrated picture of life on the earth in those days. We discover they were days of spiritual decline. There were two lines quite distinct in Genesis 4 and 5. In Genesis chapter 4, we have the descendants of Cain, the godless line, the children of this world, shrewder for their generation than the children of light. We discover that all the scientific development of the days of Noah was made by this godless line of Cain. They were men and women who were intent on improving life on this earth and had no interest in the life to come. In chapter 5, however, we have the descendants of Seth. And we find that these people contributed nothing, apparently, to the social and scientific structure of life on the earth. The only thing we read about these people is that they lived so many years that they handed on the torch of faith and that they died. All the way down chapter 5, we have God tolling the bell, proving Satan a liar when he said in the Garden of Eden, "Thou shalt not surely die." All the way down chapter 5, we read, "And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died." And so we come to Enoch, the seventh from Adam. It is interesting to compare the seventh from Adam in the line of Cain in chapter 4 with the seventh from Adam in the line of Seth in chapter 5. And we find that in both cases, we have a consummation. The seventh from Adam in the line of Cain was Lamech. The seventh from Adam in the line of Seth was Enoch. The seventh from Adam in the line of the children of this world brings to a head the ruin of fallen man. Enoch, the seventh from Adam in the line of Seth, however, sets before us not ruin but rapture. He is the man who did not die, who walked with God until one day God flung wide the pearly gates of glory and said to Enoch, "Step right in, Enoch, and spend eternity with me." The seventh from Adam in the line of Cain was Lamech, and in him we see characterized rebellion against the will of God. He shakes his fist in the face of heaven, having murdered a man, having married two wives, and he says, "If God will avenge Cain 7 times, well, I'm going to see that I'm avenged 70 times 7. That's rebellion. His song has been called the Song of the Sword. It is a glorification of militarism and human might upon the face of the earth. The seventh from Adam in the line of Seth, however, we see not the consummation of human rebellion and the picture of the first Antichrist, but we see in Enoch a consummation of righteousness and what happens when a man walks with God. Lamech brings to a head wickedness on the earth, and Enoch brings to a head witness on the earth. And between chapter 4 and chapter 5, we have a clear-cut mark of demarcation between the church and the world. It is quite easy to distinguish between the two. They stand poles apart. They are living for different worlds, and it's obvious. But when you come to chapter 6, this mark of demarcation between the church and the world has gone. When you get to chapter 6, you find it is no longer possible to draw such a straight line. In fact, the number of the redeemed have shrunk in relation to the world's population to a mere handful. The Lord Jesus once said, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the faith on the earth, indicating that in the last days, that those who live for God will be of such a small minority that they will be counted as utterly insignificant. We find the faith that was delivered to Adam, the faith for which Abel had shed his blood, the faith which Cain had deliberately distorted into a gospel of good works, a faith which had been drowned in demonism, actually had largely disappeared in the days of Noah. Now it's exactly the same today, and it is becoming increasingly the same. Take, for example, this country, which is perhaps one of the most favored countries on the face of the earth. This country was founded by men who believed in God. They wrote their convictions into the constitution of the land. They stamped their faith in God into the very coin of the realm. They founded their law courts, their schools, and their universities on biblical principles. How far we in this country, the bastion of Christianity, how far we have departed from these basic principles that made this country great. We have departed so far that in 1962, last year, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision barring the recitation of an official prayer written by a state board in New York public schools. These schools, which were founded originally by men who believed in God. In 1963, that is, this year in June, the Supreme Court went a step further. In Pennsylvania, there was a state law which required, quote, at least 10 verses from the Holy Bible shall be read without comment at the opening of each public school on each school day, end quote. In Baltimore, under a rule adopted by the Board of School Commissioners in 1905, the daily opening exercises in the cities public schools included the, quote, reading without comment of a chapter of the Holy Bible and or the use of the Lord's Prayer, end quote. In Pennsylvania, a Unitarian couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Edward L. Schemp filed suit against Pennsylvania to block the enforcement of that state law. And in Baltimore, a self-professed atheist, Mrs. Madeline E. Murphy, brought suit against Baltimore to get the law that was on the school books repealed. Both were successful. In 1963, the Supreme Court's ruling upheld, in the one case, the suit of a Unitarian, and in the other case, the suit of an atheist, barring and banning the use of the Bible in the public schools of this land. No sooner did the Supreme Court make that decision in this country than in 1963 again this year, the American Civil Liberties Union brought suit in California, in a California state court, to get the phrase under God eliminated from the Pledge of Allegiance recited by children in the public schools of the United States of America. And recently, the New York State Education Commissioner ruled that schools may not use the fourth stanza of the Star Spangled Banner as a prayer. That stanza ends, and this be our motto, in God we trust. That is how far this country has departed. Here in this country we have a graphic illustration of the spiritual decline of the free world and of the world at large. The world today has turned its back on God. It is moving at an ever-accelerating pace into the awful abyss of atheism, agnosticism, and unbelief. humanly speaking, there is nothing that can stem these tides. I picked up a copy of Time magazine just a few months ago. One person commenting on this latest ruling of the Supreme Court said, "A child in school legally can no longer say goodbye, as this is a contraction of God be with you." Of course, he says, if a child is outside the school calling to one inside, the outside child could say goodbye, but the inside one would have to say, "Stay loose," or some other patriotic slogan. Billy Graham pointed out, right after the Supreme Court ruling in 1962, which has set a pattern of the way things will increasingly go, there was only one voice raised in dissonance against this ruling by the Supreme Court judges. Billy Graham pointed out that the same day that the U.S. Supreme Court made that ruling, the same day this same court ruled also in favor of a certain publisher who wanted to use the U.S. public mail for distributing pornographic literature. We are living in days of spiritual decline. This country, we are only beginning to feel the first rise of the tide. In many countries, atheism now covers those lands as the waters now cover the sea. The faith that was delivered to our fathers, the faith of the founding fathers of this country, the faith for which the martyrs shed their blood, that faith is very rapidly disappearing from the earth today. And certainly the clear-cut line of separation between the church and the world is gone. Very difficult now to be able to recognize a Christian when you see it, or her. They were days of spiritual decline. The second characteristic of the days of Noah is that they were days of social dilemma. Chapter 6 and verse 1, we are given the first of two characteristics which contributed to the social dilemma of the days of Noah. First of all, there was an increase in the world's population. And secondly, there was an increase in the world crime. Both these characteristics are very present in the world today. In verse 1 of chapter 6, the Holy Spirit specially draws our attention to one significant fact. It came to pass, he said, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth. The thing that impressed the Holy Ghost, as he assessed the world situation just before the deluge, was that there was an enormous increase in the population of mankind upon the face of the earth. Men began to multiply. Now, we hear a lot today about the population explosion. Do you know that 3 times every second somewhere in the world a baby is born? Last week, nearly 2 million babies were born. That's enough to double the population of Minnesota. Since 1950, some 65.3 billion have been given aid. Some $65.3 billion has been given in aid to underdeveloped nations. Most of the benefits have been wiped out in the population explosion. The iron law, as it's been called, of war, famine, and pestilence, which held down the population for centuries, is now no longer with us to such a large extent. It took, from the days of Noah to 1830 B.C., to raise the population of the world to 1 billion. By 1930, in a period of 100 years, it had jumped to 2 billion. By 1961, in just 30 years, it had reached 3 billion. In 20 years more, by 1980, it will have reached 4 billion. And in another 20 years, by the year 2000, it will be 6.2 billion. The current rate of growth of the population is so great that if continued for another 600 years uninterrupted, it would leave every inhabitant on the earth only 1 square yard to live on. And by the year 3500, the weight of human bodies on the earth's surface would be equal to the weight of the world itself. And the same statistician tells us that if things go on as they are, by the year 6000, the solid mass of humanity on the planet would be expanding outward into space at the speed of light, that's at the speed of 186,273 miles per second. I thought that's something to think about, the population explosion. Somebody has suggested that emigration to other planets might be a possible answer to this problem. However, it would require right now a passenger ship seating 100 persons leaving every minute just to stay where we are in terms of the present world population. Coming right close to home, the United States of America, which has achieved the highest standard of living ever achieved in the history of the world. We are told that our population at present is 184.5 million. It's expected to reach 223 million by 1972. That is, a metropolis the size of Detroit or Boston will be added every year to the world, to the population of the United States for the next 10 years. The population will double in the United States every 40 years at the present rate of increase. This has a number of very interesting side applications that I'm not going to go into in terms of education, slum-like congestion, chronic unemployment, and race riots. It's interesting that this explosion in world population is coupled in the scripture with a sudden explosion in crime in the days of Noah. The world population today is soaring at such a speed that it's just as if another France were added every year to the world population. And this increase, 46 million a year, is the very minimum in a recent United Nations survey. And the rate of acceleration is increasing. And in Asia, it is already twice as fast as it is in Europe. The Lord Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, even so. The days of Noah were characterized by men beginning to multiply upon the face of the earth. The days in which we live have forced upon the attention of the world the fact that men are beginning to multiply. This increase in world population in the days of Noah was coupled with an increase in crime. We read in chapter 6 and verse 5 that God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And in verse 11 we read, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. That is a characteristic of life on the earth before the flood. The crime index rose so rapidly that finally it reached heaven and demanded divine intervention in human affairs. It is exactly the same today. What can you expect when one half of the world's population every night goes to bed hungry? In Calcutta, for example, just to give one example out of hundreds that could be cited, in Calcutta, a Hindu rickshaw puller shares a 6 by 8 foot hut with 10 other rickshaw pullers in a slum where human beings fight an endless battle with cholera, smallpox, and rats. Is any wonder we are face to face today with a surge in crime, and that the underdeveloped nations of the earth are arming as fast as they possibly can, and demanding, if communism is the only answer, they will embrace communism, and demanding a fairer share in the world's material resources, while we in this country have so much that we don't know what to do with it. Right after the war, a visitor to the United States was asked what was it that most impressed him about the United States, and he said the size of the American garbage can. In the United States of America, we are facing a tremendous rise in the crime index for an exactly opposite reason. In this reason, it's not that we have too little, it's that we have too much. And our young people today are suffering from an overabundance of this world's goods. They are satiated and dissatisfied. They've tasted everything. They've had everything. They've been everywhere. They've got nothing to live for, no ambition. And they are turning to crime to get a kick out of it. Because nothing else gives them a thrill. They've had everything else. J. Edgar Hoover, chief of the FBI, in an article which appeared January last year in U.S. News and World Report, stated that between 1950 and 1960, that's within 10 years, between 1950 and 1960, serious crimes in the United States increased 98%. That is 5 times faster than the increase in population. In 1960, there was a willful murder every 58 minutes in the USA. One willful murder every hour. There was a burglary every 39 seconds. A robbery every 6 minutes. A major larceny every 60 seconds. A forcible rape every 34 minutes. An aggravated assault every 4 minutes. And a car theft every 2 minutes during the year. That's in this country. With all its Bibles and chapels and radio broadcasts and gospel crusades and all its fundamental ministers and preachers and teachers of the gospel, that's in this country. This country alone. Edgar Hoover, looking at the cost side of crime, stated that it costs $22 billion a year just to curb crime in the United States. That's $128 a year for every man, woman, and child in the nation. He also went on to say that much of the crime in the USA is committed by youth. 8% of all murders are committed by young people. 12% of the aggravated assaults, 20% of forcible rape in this country is committed by young people. 25% of all robberies committed by young people, 49% of all larcenies, and 51% of all burglaries, and 62% of all automobile thefts are committed by young people in this country. And these are the people that are going to be governing this nation if the Lord tarries within 10 or 20 years. He said the decline in moral standards and parental authority is the reason for this. So the days of Noah were days of social dilemma, an outburst in the world's population and a tremendous outburst in the world's crime. I am not going to take the time to go outside of continental USA, but if we look at the picture at large today, what an awful picture it is of crime. Think of Soviet Russia alone, with 20 million people living in the most pitiful slavery in Siberia. 20 million people. And think of the premier of China who, not very long ago, publicly stated that he would start a war between Russia and the states if he could, and that he would be willing to sacrifice 300 million Chinese in such a war. You have some idea of the proportion to which crime has risen. It's become a state industry. Cuba and China are exporting into this country at an alarming rate all kinds of narcotics just to drug our young people and to wreck the moral fiber of this nation. Crime has become a national export, deliberately carried on to the subversion of other people. As the days of Noah were, said the Lord Jesus, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were not only days of spiritual decline and days of social dilemma. The days of Noah were days of shameless depravity. In the context of the line of Cain, the names of 12 people are given, and 3 of these are women. That is, 25% of the names given in connection with Cain are women. Which is very significant when you think that the Holy Ghost is condensing 1,500 years of human history in these chapters. Moreover, the names of these women are very interesting. Adar is supposed to mean pleasure or adornment. Zillah, her name means shade and probably refers to her long hair. Naamah means loveliness. We have here a fact that it is outward, it was the outward beauty and the sensual attractiveness that brought women into prominence in the days of Noah. We have here delicately suggested in this reference an intimation of the fact that in the days before the flood there was an exaggeration of sex and an emphasis on the female form. In addition to this, there was a complete breakdown in the primeval law of marriage. We read in connection with Lamech that he had 2 wives. And we read in chapter 6 that there were those who took them wives of all that they chose. A complete disregard of God's law of marriage. A complete moral decay and breakdown in the days before the flood. And it's exactly the same today. I came across an interesting article just 2 or 3 weeks ago which gives some idea of the prominence that women have attained in our society. These statistics are not necessarily bad, but just listen to this to get some idea of the influence that women have upon society in the United States. We are told that women hold 65% of all bank savings in this country. A woman holds 99% of mine. Last year, women owned 75% of all suburban homes. Last year, 1962, women bought 61% of all men's hats. I don't suppose they wanted to wear them themselves, but they bought 61% of all men's hats, 84% of their handkerchiefs, 78% of their pajamas, 75% of their neckties, 68% of their shoes, 80% of their slippers. In fact, we are told they make or decide 85% of all retail sales in this country. We are told, and I don't believe this, but they tell us they score higher than men in intelligence tests, and that they withdraw 63% more books from college libraries than men. Just want to use them to stack up and collect dust, I guess. But this is just an indication of a trend in our society towards the prominence of women exactly as it was in the days before the flood. But in the days before the flood, this was accompanied by an outburst of sex and vice, and a putting into prominence of women because of their sensual and seductive attractiveness. And I want to tell you, we are right there today in this country. It is impossible to go into a drugstore. It is impossible to go into a bookstore today. It is impossible to look at a book rack without being morally defiled by the filth that is on sale in our bookstores and in our drugstore. And you can walk down a rack of books and book after book after book on the picture on the cover in full color is an exaggeration of the female form. It's exactly what it was in the days before the flood. The Lord Jesus says the days before the flood were days of shameless depravity, as the days of Noah were even so. There is today also in this country, which I'm using as an example because this country claims to be a Christian country, is far worse than other countries. Bad enough in this country. But there is in this country also today a tremendous breakdown in the primeval law of marriage. There is a rising tide of divorce and marital unfaithfulness in this country not to mention the horrible frequency, flippancy, and tragedy of premarital sexual relationships,
even amongst Christians.
A thing which God has promised in His Word to judge. Marriage, and He says, is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. These are the days of Noah. These are the days in which we live. The days of Noah were further characterized by scientific development. I've got half a minute to finish up and I've got 4 points to go. They were days of scientific development. I'm not going to go into that except in chapter 4, we find that Cain established a community. Jabal, he established agriculture and farming. Jubal, the fine arts and culture. And Tubal came in the Industrial Revolution before the flood. We don't know what these men produced by way of science, except to know, we do know that their scientific and technological achievements were phenomenal because they built the ark. They built the ark. God wanted Noah to build an ark that would withstand the greatest storm and the most terrible pressures of water that this world had ever seen. It was The blueprints were given to Noah by God, but the ark was built by men. The fact that they could build that ark suggests the technological and the scientific skill which existed before the flood. We don't have to talk about the scientific developments of today. We don't have to talk about the acceleration in man's knowledge of the physical nature of the universe today. Why, when my dad went to school, he either walked or he used a horse and buggy. And today, we are reaching for outer space and thinking nothing of it. If we heard that the Russians tomorrow morning had put a man on the moon, we wouldn't be the least bit surprised, although we might be surprised if we learned that the United States had done it. We're living in days of scientific development. So that we have lost all capacity to be surprised by what man can do anymore. We're living in days of strong delusion. The Lord Jesus said of the days before the flood that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and all these things are perfectly legitimate, but they knew not. They knew not. They had no excuse for not knowing. God had raised up a mighty man of God in the person of Noah who preached with power and conviction, a preacher of righteousness, as we were thinking last night. And yet despite the voice of God in the darkness of that day, the Lord Jesus could say that they knew not. They knew not. God has raised up a man in our day and generation. Thank God he's raised up more than one, but he's raised up one in particular, Billy Graham, who has put the gospel on the front page of every major newspaper in the free world. He has raised up today an army of men and women with technological skill who are penetrating into the far remote corners of the globe today with radio and with airplanes and with modern tools of communication, and they are reaching the unreached. But for the greatest majority of the men and women today, despite all that the Holy Ghost is doing on the world today, the majority are completely in the dark, and they don't know, and what's more, they don't care. The judgment is coming. Days of strong delusion. Days of all the days of some devotion. It is a principle with God that the more degenerate the times, the more definite the testimony. They were dark days before the flood, but there was some devotion. There was one family that was living for God. There's only one family. There is still one family that's living for God. It's the family of faith.
As the days of Noah were, even so, God has not left himself entirely without a witness. Although that witness is becoming represented by an increasingly small minority of the world's population.
Finally, the days of Noah were days of sudden destruction.
Over the world of the days of Noah there hung an ominous cloud. It was a cloud filled with the waters of judgment. People were too blind to see it, or if they did see it, they shut their eyes to it. Across the world in which we live, there hangs another cloud today. It's not a cloud of water, it's a cloud of fire. It's a mushroom-shaped cloud. It hangs like an ominous shadow across the world today, and we are reminded that God, through the Apostle Peter, has told us that the day is coming when he's going to unleash this form of energy upon the earth in destruction of the world by fire. The Lord Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now we haven't gone into all this just to be entertaining. When the Bible speaks of prophecy and when it tells us these things, it is for one reason. It is that we might make ourselves pure. The prophetic hope of the church is a purifying hope. The fact that Jesus is coming, and that he's at the very threshold of the door, and that every condition on the world today points to the fact that he is coming soon, is intended by the Holy Spirit to be a spur in our conscience, to cause us to live holy and godly, and with committal and conviction. For the time is short. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for its penetration. We thank thee for the fact that thou hast not left us in the dark. We thank thee that this is just one tiny fragment of prophetic truth, and it all fits together with other things that thou hast written. Help us to look up. Help us to look around. Help us to look within. Help us to look on the fields. Help us, Lord, to get out of our selfishness and our sin, to give thee thy place of lordship in our lives, that we might indeed be men of this accursed day, understanding the times and knowing what thou wouldst have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.